This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
If we can stay physically strong and preserve our balance, it promotes our cognitive health as well. And when we exercise, so many things happen. So we release a lot of neurochemicals, endorphins that can help us to feel less pain or feel kind of this energy or really feeling good, serotonin that can improve our mood. We release these hormones like brain-derived neurotrophic factor that travel in through the bloodstream up to the brain that stimulate that neurogenesis or growth of new neurons in the area, as I said, the hippocampus that's important for learning and memory. It also promotes angiogenesis or growth of blood vessels, and synaptogenesis or growth of synapses and connections in brain systems. So really, it's just so the brain does love movement. What's recommended is at least 150 minutes of moderate aerobic physical activity per week. So that is, 30 minutes, 5 days a week, or you can have an instant recess where you do 10 minutes three times a week. We don't want to sit for too long because we think of sitting, being sedentary is not health promoting either. So 150 minutes of moderate aerobic physical activity or 75 minutes of vigorous physical activity per week. And vigorous is measured by an inability to really sing or talk during that type of activity. So you're breathless enough that you can't really hold forth or sing easily. We also recommend strength and resistance training 2 times per week, best combined with aerobic activity. And then, balance training and stretching. So balance training 3 times a week, Tai Chi, yoga, heel to toe walks, Qigong, dancing. Exerkines are these biochemicals that are stimulated with exercise that play these key roles in multiple organ systems, neurological, cardiovascular, immune, and metabolic systems to promote health. Health span, longevity, and resilience. So you release these exerkines, including irisin, from the muscle that travel in the bloodstream and that promote health in multiple organ systems and reduce dementia risk by targeting these cardiometabolic diseases such as obesity, type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and so on. We also know that exercise is associated with prolonged survival in people who are living with Alzheimer's disease. So physical fitness was associated with slower rates of decline, so more preserved gray matter volumes in those who are both cognitively normal seniors and those with early Alzheimer's disease. And in a population-based study of almost 400 participants, when incident AD cases who were physically inactive were compared to those who were active, in other words, where people developed Alzheimer's disease, those who were more physically active lived longer and had better preserved cognitive function. So there's, over 90 meta-analyses have come out in the last 5 years looking at movement and exercise and its benefit. And we know there's multiple mechanisms of action. It's beneficial in multiple ways. It's beneficial for cognition and really specifically in terms of what we call processing speed and executive function. There's more benefit in these domains compared to memory. It also, we know that physical frailty is associated with cognitive frailty. And the opposite is true. Is if we can stay physically strong and preserve our balance, it promotes our cognitive health as well. So there's this bi-directional relationship between the body health, fitness and frailty, and brain health, fitness and frailty. We also, of course, sleep better, and with more restful sleep, we clear out these misfolded proteins that through the glymphatic system and can help us to reduce the risk of Alzheimer's disease as well. So, and when you look at these meta-analyses, the greatest evidence is in primary dementia prevention. However, there is evidence in mild cognitive impairment and in dementia, and there's greatest benefit in group setting compared to individual. But this has been seen in a number of settings at the gym, home-based exercises, whatever is available. And I love how Dr. Marshall talked about the exercise snack. You know, so there's always time to get up and maybe walk for 5 minutes or do a squat or raise your arms or do a gentle balance on one leg while you're brushing your teeth, you know? So get a move. You're familiar with exercise snacks. So those can be sort of brief moments of strength training or aerobic exercise throughout the day, like wall push-ups or chair squats or a brisk walk. And it can really motivate you, builds confidence. You just did it, you feel good, and maybe you want to do it again in an hour or 2 hours. And you can get energy and improved focus. So if you're sitting at your computer and you're noticing that it's really, really, really hard to focus, sometimes the best thing to do is actually turn away from the computer and take a brisk walk. And that can kind of elevate your mood, improve your focus, and then we can call this a victorious cycle. Okay, I spoke about frailty and dementia risk. So, really, that overall physical health promotes brain health along the lifespan. It's as important at 80 as it was at 18 or 8 to remain as physically active as you can in your body. I'm boarded in lifestyle medicine, and in lifestyle medicine, we think about these six pillars of health that apply to many chronic diseases. And by addressing these six pillars, we can improve cognition and combat, you know, promoting brain health across the lifespan. I'll just go through these briefly, but in terms of food as medicine, there are three common diets which are associated with cognitive and stroke protection. And these have been by 30%, and these have been studied most extensively. But we'll talk about how there's a lot of overlap in terms of the ingredients. And effectively, they are really whole food plant forward diets and limiting ultra processed foods. And then in terms of sleep, there's a higher risk if you have less than 6 hours on average or greater than 9 hours, it increases your risk of dementia. Also, untreated sleep apnea, or prolonged insomnia, or interrupted sleep like circadian disruption, or and then social connections. We know that loneliness, as we talked about, increases the risk for stroke and dementia. Low-level physical activity really is associated with 20% increased risk. If you have moderate or high levels of exercise, you reduce that risk. Stroke reduction compared to inactivity. We know that stress is not something that we can escape. It's a, you know, something we confront as humans in the world and the complexity that we navigate and the uncertainty that we navigate. However, the way that we respond to that stress, if we're chronically stressed, that's very pro-inflammatory, and it is associated with a higher risk of hypertension, stroke, cognitive impairment, dementia. And then substance use, we know that middle-aged smoking.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.